Okay, we got through the two that are InfoCalc and VariableCalc, right? But I don't think we... Did we look at exception? Okay. I played with it, so I wasn't sure whether I played with it here or at home. So hopefully it will be the same, but if not, we'll have to figure it out. Okay, so this one is the exception one, and it's from the Chapter 3 group. There are five in that Chapter 3 group, and this is one of those five. You really like your seat back there? I forget you're here. Okay, so if we look at the code for this. Okay, what we're trying to do here is we're doing a calculation. And the problem is that if I don't put in numbers, the program is going to crash. Okay? So, I'm going to run this. Actually, I want that open. Come on, you can do it. So the to convert, which is the first button, simply takes and sets up a variable called double price, and it sets it up as a decimal variable. It sets it up locally. So that means it is only available to this particular subroutine. Okay? Now, if you look down, okay, to the next one down below, I did a definition of it again as a local. If I decide it's going to be used in a bunch of these, I might not want to keep redefining it. So if I put it up here, it becomes a class of global variable. And a class of global variable is available to all of the modules, all of the procedures, all of the subroutines, whatever you want to call them. It's available to all of them. But in this one, because I define it locally, and then I wanted to use it down here, I had to either redefine it or move it up under the class. Okay? There are some people that have strong feelings about making the class ones because they feel that it can be impacted by too many subroutines and it's harder to keep track of it. And there are others that like it that way, so that's a kind of a style thing that people usually feel strongly about one way or another. Okay? So, if I put in a number here and I'm putting in 567.23 and I hit the convert, it converts it and I converted it to an integer. Okay? So I took the number that was typed in there, which is text to convert, and I converted it to an integer. So the decimal numbers that I had originally entered in are gone because I converted it to an integer. And then I said, okay, now put it out using toString C, which is convert to currency. And that C can be either an uppercase or a lowercase C. And it converts it to currency and puts it out in the text result. Okay? Now my problem is if I enter an ABC here and then say convert, it crashes. Okay? So if I entered ABC, it says I can't convert ABC to a integer. Conversion from string ABC to type integer is not valid. Okay? So it has told me that this is a problem and I can't do it. Okay, so one of the ways around this, and we'll be looking at different things you can do as we go along, is to use exceptions. So on this one, I've got a try catch.
Okay. So I'm going to try to do this. If it's not going to work, I'm catching it as an exception. And I'm going to put out the word data problem. Okay.
So if I run this, and I've got 567.23, and I say convert with the try catch, it does the conversion just fine. If I put in ABC here and say convert, it comes back and tells me that there is a data problem. So it took
the catch EX as an exception, so catch. Essentially, it's catching an exception, and it's catching the exception and putting out the fact that there's a data problem.
So the nice thing about this is it doesn't crash. I can then fix it and come over here and put in the 567.89 and hit convert, and it does the convert. So I can fix it. It doesn't crash on me. I can just, as a user, I can fix it. Okay? If it crashes on a user, especially a user that doesn't know Visual Basic, there's nothing they can do about it. They have to rerun the program. But if it crashes now, they can rerun it. And saying data problem is probably not a good thing to do. I should be more specific. You know, be sure you enter in numeric values only or something like that, and let people really know what the problem is. Okay, I'm callous about that when I'm doing examples, but you should always assume that your user is clueless, and you should write it for the clueless user. Okay? So try to give them as much information as possible. Okay, down on the next one, I have two problems that I'm catching. Invalid cast exception ends up catching not numerics, as well as just plain exception does. So if I put in numbers down here, I think I'm doing a divide. So I'll put in 12 and I'll put in 2, and it comes back with an answer of 6. Okay?
So it does the calculation, it comes back with an answer of 6.
If I put in that I want to divide by A, it comes back and tells me that the data is not numeric. If I try to divide by 0, it comes back and tells me infinity. Interestingly enough, when I ran this at home, and I must have a slightly different version, it comes back and tells me infinity. But it doesn't, that 8 on its side kind of thing that means infinity. So, not a very good example of it, but anyway, it comes back and tells me infinity, but it comes back with that symbol. So I must have a slightly, in fact I do, I have the community version, and this is the full version. But that's just kind of an interesting difference that it makes between the two. Okay? Because when I ran it this weekend, that's what came up. Okay. And notice also the divide by zero exception.
I told it what it wanted, I wanted it to say, and it said, yeah, I'm going to tell you that it's infinity.
Which I also thought was kind of interesting, because usually it gives you whatever message you gave. This particular one, it decides, no, I have a better message, and it gives the better message. Okay, so when you're doing mathematical things, especially doing this try-catch, is a nice way of catching errors that you make. Now, I don't do a lot of this in examples that I do, mainly because if I put a lot of these things in to catch things, then I'm going to end up with a code much too long for what I want to show up here. So I don't do it all the time. You should play around with it and try it a few times, but I'll forgive you if you don't do it all the time either. However, you should, toward the end, start putting together a few that are good examples that you can show people. And in those kinds of examples, I would do the error catching so that they know that you know how to do error catching. Okay? Because user entry changed the world of programming more than anything else, probably. Because when I first started programming, you did not have user entry, okay? And so you could write based on, if the data was in the file, you can assume it's right since it should have been edited when it was put in the file. But now when you're sitting and having user input from a screen, you have to be much more careful about checking data and making sure that the data is valid data. So, programming has definitely changed in that sense. Okay, I'm going to close that solution, and I'm going to open the next one in that group, which is, there's a project math and a project group project. It doesn't much matter, so I'll do math. These are just showing you the things that you can do and giving examples of mathematics. And the first thing is to remember that the plus can mean either add or concatenate. For you who took JavaScript, you've seen that before.
Sorry, I'm always having a little time.
So, what you're doing here is you're converting it to a number.
If you don't do that, then it concatenates. Okay, so if I take this right now, if I put in a 4 and a 5 and I say add, it gives me 9. Okay, if I take this heavens. I have no idea what I just did. Control copy. Control paste. And I can comment that out. And if I now run it, and I put in a 4 and a 5, and say add, it tells me 45. So it concatenated as opposed to adding. Okay? So what you have to do is convince it that you want to add, and the way you convince it you want to add is to do the conversion to a number,
because everything that comes in on the text box is assumed to be text. Everything that comes in these text boxes that are on the form is assumed to be text. Now, it actually lets you do, as you can see, multiplies, divides, everything else just fine.
But add, because of the plus, gets carried away with the fact that it came in as text, and it doesn't do the add, it does the concatenate. So, if I put in here 4.555 and 67.2 and say add, it does the lovely concatenate that you see there. Okay, so it's concatenated the whole things together with two decimal places included and essentially made a mess. Okay. If I say add an O, it goes in and does the add also. Let me see. Okay, and does it as well. Add an O. Actually, does anybody remember what add NO is? Add the slash going in the opposite direction. Oh, that's not that one. Sorry. I just fixed the thing. Add NO, where is it? Okay, I thought I had done something fancy, and I guess I forgot. I was playing with this weekend, as I said. Okay, here's subtract, and subtract works fine. So I do a subtract, and it gives me a negative number, so I'm going to go in and put in whole numbers, or numbers that will work a little bit better. And now I subtract, and I've got a 3.3. I multiply and I divide. And notice on these two ones when I was doing an integer division, I think is what I was thinking about. When I do a divide, then I put it in so the one was left justified and one was right justified. If you go look in the properties, I set it so that it was left justified and right justified. I changed the text align to have left and right. Have it justified at different places. And I don't know where my head was when I was thinking about the add. What I meant was there were two divides, and for some reason I got hung up on add. So the two divides are, if I do a divide, and if I do an integer divide, then I get a different answer, because it's 1 divided by 4. And that's the one I was thinking of. For some reason, I decided to think about it as an add. But an integer divide, okay, has the slash in a different way. So if you look at it down here, okay, you can see the integer divide versus the divide. And the integer divide has the slash in a different way. Okay. So integer divide has the slash going that way, regular divide has it going that way. And if you flip that slash, you only do a divide using integers. You assume that they're integers. Okay. Anybody remember what mod does? Well, I actually told you, I put it on the button. Okay. Mod gets a remainder. So let's try a different set of numbers. Let's try, I want to divide 12 by 5. And the remainder is 2. Okay, because 5 goes into 12 twice, but the remainder is 2. Okay. probably should have picked a different number, so I didn't get the 2. So if I do a 7 and get the remainder, it's 5. The 7 goes into 12 once, and the remainder is 5. Okay. And then power. Is 12 to the 7th power or whatever. Okay. And notice it is an upward, a little carrot. A little carrot does the power and the mod does the remainder. And mod does that in a bunch of different languages. Okay. So that's the math. And then the next one is the group. And what I've done here is, and you can't see it very well, but there's a little box that goes around. So that I have grouped everything together in one big box. Okay, so I've set up a group, and it is done with this. It's a group box, and so I drag over from the toolbar the group box, and the text I put in was product information, and notice it kind of fits into the box when it fits up the box. So that forms a group on the form. Okay? So that I can put all the stuff inside the group if I want to. And I just did the calculation here. So the main thing I was showing you there was the group. The other thing that I want to show you here is this message box. Notice that this is a load as opposed to a click. Everything we've looked at up until now is a click event, but this one is a load event. Okay? So if I run this, it comes up and does the load event before I even see the form, because I did a message box show in the load event. And then when I say okay, now I see the form. Okay, so if I enter 1212, the cost is 10, calculate profit is $2. And then I can clear everything and I can close. But this load is done so that you can do things right at the beginning. Load is a great thing for initializing things. If I want to set up an array at the beginning, if I want to do something that's one time only, that's housekeeping basically, then I can do it on the load event. And the way you generate a load event is if you, well, I didn't mean to do that. If you double-click anywhere, blank area on the form, it makes the load event. And since it was already a load event, it went there. But if I had just clicked anywhere on the form, it would have made a load event. Okay, so just click in a blank area on the form, and it makes the load event. And notice this is, when I did that, it is, gives the name of the form, use group form, underscore load. So it's the load event associated with that form. Okay? And again, the purpose for that is to be able to do any one-time thing you want to do, or things, any one-time things you want to do before the program starts. Yeah?
So that message box is directing it to the group form, pretty much?
No, it's not directing, it's just doing it. And then the form comes up because the load always loads the form. But now we're telling it, in addition to loading the form, we want you to do this, and it does it prior to the load. Okay, so it does anything in there prior to the load. So you might actually have something where you would ask the user to enter in a percent. You want to do a calculation and you let the user enter in a percent. And we haven't really talked about user input, but you can put up an input box and ask them to enter a percent that you want to use. My husband at one point had a company that sold gold, and it was during gold jewelry. And it was during the time when the price of gold was all over the place. And so they used to keep telling him he had to come in and fix the program, and he said, let me just fix the thing. He said, let me just fix the program, and they didn't want paying to do that. But finally they decided it was less than paying him to come in on a regular basis. But so he had it where they could enter today's price of gold and then run the program. And then if they wanted to run it again later in the afternoon, they could rerun and enter today's price of gold, this afternoon's price of gold. So that they always had the variable for the price of gold. Okay? So, load gives you the chance to do those one-time things. If you look over here, you've got all of the different events. And we will only look at a fraction of those. But those are all of the different events you can have. And those are all the different fields that you have set up on the form. So you can see the fields that you've set up on the form, and you can see all of the events over here. Okay, what I want you to do today, because I just want to, the first few days, be sure that we're comfortable. So I have a project for you to do. So please go, bring that up. You can work together, you can work separately. Whatever is your preference. But I said debug quiz one. So I want you to do that quiz today in class mainly. Okay, and just make sure everybody's comfortable. I'll do this less, but I don't want to move too fast right at the beginning. I want you to practice a little bit as we're going along. So, if you would like to work with someone, I'm sure he's willing. So you could come up and work there, or he can go back. You guys can work together, you guys can work together, or you can work alone. Which is your preference? Okay. So unzip the debug quiz and there are three programs in it. And a bunch of questions to answer. my suggestion is you do the programs and get them debugged.
And then you can worry about answering questions afterward. But I wouldn't spend as much time on the questions as I want you playing around with the program.
So you can read the questions to see if they have information, but I would then do the debugging. So the first one I said I wanted reasonable names for fields
and a reasonable look. So I want you to clean it up and make it look good as well.
One other thing I want to mention before I forget it. Some of you, I have problems when people send me Visual Basic. For example, if you send it through Gmail, you have to change the extension and make it zip. When you zip it up, you have to make it JPEG and that sort of thing. If you really have problems getting it through to me, you can put it up on the CIS web server and you can then send me the address and I can download it. So if you run into a lot of problems, and a few people at home have, you can try that alternative. Do all of you have access to CIS web? You do, I think, right?
What?
Do you have access to CIS web? What course? You're taking two courses with me, right? Which is the other one? 122?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to have access to CIS web through there. Okay, so when you send me Visual Basic homework, you have to zip it up and send it. And if that doesn't work, we can have it such that you zip it up and put it up on CIS web and then send it to me. Okay? And I can show you how to do that. But when you get the assignment done, try sending it to me. Don't use Gmail unless you change the extension from zip to something like JPEG, because Gmail doesn't like you to send zip files that have executables in them. But for some reason, it doesn't catch on if you make it a JPEG. Change the extension. Okay, again, if you'd rather work with somebody, work with somebody. If not, I think I will stop talking now.